Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football talk from our studios at the Meat House. This week, I have with me Craig Wright, Dale Mims. So grab a drink, sit back and relax, because for the next hour or so, we're going to be doing New Orleans Saints football talk, BS and beer style. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. I would ask you how you're doing, but as usual, I do not care. So let's get right to it.
Hey, folks. All right, listen, I'm so not in the mood for you guys. You're blabbering on and on, okay? And it's enough, all right? It's enough. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, today's Monday, all right? So stop doing your stupid radio thing, and if you want to pick up where you left off tomorrow, at least it'll be Tuesday, all right? So just keep it down. Actually, don't keep it anything. Just stop, okay? Just stop doing what you're doing.
So the news of the week. Dale, we got some defensive tackle depth added to our roster. Tell us a little bit about it, and is it something that we should be excited about, or is it something that is just another guy, you know, just another guy, a jag?
We're signing guys, Dave. I'm excited. Okay.
Oh, just all anybody. Right. Just anybody. Just sign somebody. That seems to be the prevailing thought of all Saints fans right now. Is like,
look,
hello.
If you've got 20 guys, one of them is probably going to be good, right?
Right.
I think we tried that last year somewhere around the Miami game. It didn't work.
So, yeah, the Saints signed Jahlil Johnson, defensive tackle from Houston Texans. He was a rotational guy for them. The year before, he pretty much started every game. And like the year before that, he actually had some sacks. So, you know, I just see him as a guy. He's like 27 years old. He's going to be a contributor and maybe make the team. But he's not going to be a savior, you know, but he's a guy.
Okay, so Craig, does this I don't want to use the word preclude, but does it minimize the need to use a draft pick on a defensive tackle? Because we also have, and I'm not even remember the guy's name, because every year, this 2 years in a row where I heard maybe his name's Jalen something another that was doing really good in training camp and then got injured out for the season 2 years in a row, and he'll be back.
And I think that's the point, is that it does not stop us from drafting anybody. I think that if the Saints have somebody on their board that's ranked really high, that's still available in a spot that they didn't think he'd be there, I think they still take that guy. They still going to pull that trigger. But what it does is it makes it not as urgent. You know, we have a ton of depth at defensive tackle now. So we've got Shai Tuttle. We've got Onyemata. We've got, you know, the guy from the Niners, Texas. We have a bunch of pieces. So, you know, not a bunch of big names jump out at you, but that kind of depth is something you want to have, especially going into training camp where people are going to get hurt. People are going to excel. People are going to regress. Having that many options is absolutely a good thing. And I think it puts us in a good spot where we don't have to draft a D tackle if we don't see the value there.
Well, you have Onyemata is obviously your, you know, big name guy, multi-purpose, you know, pass rusher, run stopper. Then you have, you know, the guys that we had last, we didn't have any issues with stopping the run. So the guys we have can do that. What we did lack was interior pass rush. And so Street, not a guy we got from the 49ers, not necessarily a game changer, but he's a guy that gets interior pass rush. He's a smaller, quicker guy. He's still very strong. And
I disagree.
Disagree about what?
He can break somebody's ribs and change the game.
Stop it.
Okay, game changer in that way.
Stop it.
He has his moments. But the point is that between him and Passano, who spent most of the second half of the year injured, I think where the Saints did lack something is interior pass rush. And I think that we've addressed that, assuming, you know, and we have to listen. you have to assume that the Saints will not be as injured as they were last year. So
you have to assume that.
So I do agree. There's a kid from Georgia that's a beast, and he's projected to go somewhere around there.
And there's a couple of guys from Georgia that might be first round picks at D tackle.
One of them about Davis, right?
Yes, David is more of a all around pass rusher, run stopper. The other guy's more of just a huge run stopper, but very good at stopping the run. But right. I don't know if I would spend a first round draft pick on a guy who isn't a pass rusher. Just my humble opinion.
Yeah, and that seems to be all the projections for him. He's a pass rusher, but he does not show that production at Georgia. And I know me and Craig was kind of going back and forth about this, saying he could be just a guy that, you know, gets blocks and the other guys are the ones that get the production. But if you're drafting a guy that high, we're talking about first five picks, you're drafting for production. You want him to develop into a guy for you, right?
Yeah, I got to fundamentally disagree with that, though. If you're drafting for his personal production, then that's a different concept than drafting for team production. If you draft a guy and he plays D tackle and he chews up blocks and your linebackers are eaten and your DNs are getting single blocks and they're eaten on the outside and your whole defense is excelling, but this guy doesn't have anything on the stat sheet. Did he have a bad game? No, he had a great game because everyone else around him benefited from that. If you're drafting a guy because of what numbers you want him to put up, that's completely irrelevant. You're drafting a guy to help your team and help that side of the ball. And if he's helping that side of the ball without recording a tackle, then he's still helping.
All right. So another thing, Dale, we signed a familiar face, PJ Williams, for depth at the same time Malcolm Jenkins retires. Now, there were some rumors about it. Everybody that's been floating around, he reduced his salary, but made it official. Now, all of a sudden, we lost our two starting free safety and strong safety from last year's defense, which any one of them, you know, listen, I was thinking it was about time to start upgrading the Malcolm Jenkins spot, but golly, losing both of them, now all of a sudden it's like, you know.
Yeah, I will tell you, Saints fans, be prepared for some growing pains on defense. Because when you're changing out two safeties, you're really, really changing the defense. I listened to a few other different shows where defensive coordinators and former defensive coordinators were talking about the importance of safeties in their defense. And of course, every defensive coordinator wants safeties that are interchangeable. So you can swap one down to the box and another place, swap the other one down to the box and just have these guys be able to cover space in the back. And now I think that's what Dennis Allen is going to go for, interchangeable safeties, but it's going to be a lot of growing pains because those guys have to learn to communicate and learn each other's strengths and weaknesses and just figure out how guys play. I remember early on when Jenkins first came back and to the Saints defense, and we were having these busts. Like you look at players turn around looking at each other like, what the hell, bro? You know, and these are those kind of growing pains I'm talking about. Like, I expect this to happen until, you know, we can really get a grasp of things. Those guys got to get used to each other, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. Greg, any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think having interchangeable safeties is definitely the direction we're going. You saw that with our free agent signing at safety, May's, we'll edit this part out.
Yeah. May is one safety.
Yeah, but he's played both spots.
Right.
What I appreciate really is the evolution of PJ Williams, where he was an outside corner and the fans hated him. Then he was a slot corner and we kind of liked him. Now as a safety, we all love him. So I appreciate the PJ Williams ascent into greatness. It's important to have one of your safeties coming back for continuity, for communication. He's kind of the elder statesman in the safety room now. I think that there's a really good chance that a safety comes off the board in our draft a lot earlier than we were kind of hoping. You know, obviously we want receivers, we want offensive line. I think there's a really good chance we go safety really early, and it's going to be a little jarring for some of us.
Go ahead, Dale.
The good thing we've seen about PJ is he can actually contribute on the field. He's not going to be a liability. He's an option to be a starter if need be.
Well, yeah, he got a touchdown pass from Tom Brady last year.
I mean, at this point, I don't know, at least right now, penciled in. First of all, I didn't realize he was going into his eighth year. I mean, the guy is I didn't realize it when makes sense, but I still look at him as, oh, remember that young kid? Yeah. No, he's still developing, but he's a grown man now.
Yeah.
Having said that, right now you almost have to pencil him and May in as your starters. I mean, and so which leads me to agree with Craig is that that might be the shock of the draft, that the low key spot that the team really emphasizes more than things that the fans want to emphasize. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But also, you know, we're hearing a lot of rumors and a lot of rumblings about the Honey Badger possibly coming back home.
Those rumblings are coming from us. There's been no talk about the organization reaching out.
No. There are multiple sources out there confirming that this might happen.
Now, why are we going to lie to the people? People choosing to listen to us with their free time, are you going to lie to them?
Okay, so this is an internal battle you guys out there listening to us do not understand between Dale and Craig about LSU players. But, okay, didn't we see something between CJ, GJ, tweets where they were like,
and we saw Cam Jordan with everybody else, and we saw Michael Thomas with Deshaun Watson. Yeah, guys talk to each other on Twitter. There's nothing there, guys.
Chauncey is crouting out there. He's crouting.
That's almost like you're saying it's obvious there's nothing there, Craig. I'm just saying.
Obvious there's nothing there. Yeah, you know what? They released a list of teams that showed interest in Tyrann Mathieu. And we were on there along with another 12 teams that had more cap space and more pressing need.
Yeah.
I don't think you see anything there.
Yeah, so
I heard my sources confirm. Okay, that this is possibly going to happen, and I believe my sources.
All right. So speaking of news that's interesting that didn't happen, Devontae Parker got traded from the Miami Dolphins to New England. Now, initially reports were that he got traded, and I was a bit upset because Devontae Parker does have the skill set that I think the Saints would like to add to the team, which is deep speed.
The need.
And fits a need. But then I heard it was a third round draft pick. So then I heard it was a third round draft pick. And I said, look, you know, they draft higher than us. There's no way I'm giving up a fourth or a second round pick or multiple picks, meaning a third plus a sweetener, to give up more than New England. Dale just said, and it didn't even compute to me, that this was an interconference trade or interdivision trade.
Yes.
So New England got a player from Miami, unless Miami, boy, well, let me get back to the point. Then it comes out, it's a fifth round draft pick. Yeah. And so now I'm like, added to the fact that it's division trade, I think that we could offer it a little bit less. So
we
that
could have given a sixth.
Yeah.
It would have worked.
I don't know that. Oh, a six. Yes. Cause now it was a fifth. Gotcha. I'm still thinking it was a third. So how do you go wrong? He does have a $5 million contract, but when you get him in the trade, there's nothing to commit you to him in the future. So the point is that you pay him this year and then he could be gone next year or a new contract. So it's nothing, because we have to transition after we talk about this into the Saints' new philosophy that Mickey Loomis talked about. So Craig, talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. So to go along with the philosophy that apparently Saints and Saints fans are starting to adopt, that we don't care about winning and we're just rebuilding and going that way.
If
Parker is a one-year rental, then it doesn't matter. There's no point in doing that, because if you're looking 2, 3, 4 years down the road and building something with restructuring, getting your cap fixed, getting your draft set up, you know, if you're looking down the road, then a one-year lease on a wide receiver that's not going to change your team is not what you need right now.
Well, so doesn't that make the argument, though, that maybe this new philosophy?
Yeah, it absolutely fits the argument.
All right, Dale, go ahead.
His contract, I mean, he's a 29-year-old guy, right? His contract, he has like a $6 million cap hit this year and like a $6 million cap hit next year. To me, that's the perfect situation to get into. A guy has 2 years on his deal, young. He's productive still. He got injury problems, of course, but this is what you want to go on the opposite side of Mike Thomas to me.
Yes, that type of player. Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. And okay, so it does seem like that was, but it could also simply mean when it's not, when the value of the cost is not that high, that maybe the Saints just didn't see him as worth, you know, maybe the Saints are like, yeah, we're not going to take chances on guys that get banged up all the time anymore. Maybe we're not, all these different risks that the Saints use. We have a new head coach and maybe he just looks at things differently. I don't want a guy on here that I can't count on, you know? So
I've heard from DA saying he wants to build more through the draft than free agency. So that's probably it.
All right, Greg, any other?
Why are we talking about building through the draft like it's a new thing for the Saints? So the Saints were 7-9 3 years in a row, and then we hit the lotto with the best draft in maybe NFL history in 2017. And then we're contenders the next 4 out of 5 following years with 5 straight winning seasons, right? 4 division champs in that stretch. And all that came from the draft. We drafted Kamara. We drafted Ramchick. We drafted Lattimore. We had T. Hex from the draft. You know, we had all these pieces from the draft. People talking about the salary cap being the thing that's been holding us back. The salary cap's never worked out for us. Going and spending all this money is not what got us where we were winning. We were winning because of the draft. So now we're saying, oh, we want to recommit to building through the draft. That's how we got here in the first place. I'm not sure why we're acting like it's a new process. Like, we didn't get here by being the Rams and F them picks and spending all this money. We didn't do that. We built through the draft, and then we were really good for 5 years despite our cap.
Well, here's the thing, though, is that I agree with you. We not only built through the draft, we're really good at it.
Yeah.
And here's the problem. Now we have to pay all those guys. Plus, we had some really good players on the team like Cam Jordan, Teron Armstead on the team prior to that, and we had to pay those guys. So the point being is that, the bill came up, and now it's a matter of, do you keep saying, hey, we have to just keep paying all these guys, or do you have to say, well, it's time to let some of these good young players go, or else we're just, again, I hate this phrase, but kicking a can down the road. But what you're saying is the only way to fit all of them is to somehow just push the money down the road, and eventually you have to clean some of that up. Because one of the issues that and I'm going to say it, and I know this is an unpopular thing to say, when people talk about how the salary cap does not exist, it's like, okay, I get your point that you can find the money, but the way you find money is taking a player, extending him long-term and push that money out. The problem with that is eventually that money comes and you say, yes. Well, you just keep pushing it out. Well, then next thing you know, you end up with a Cam Jordan. Now, hopefully Cam Jordan plays next year like he played the end of this year.
Goodness,
but when he stops playing, you're still going to be committed. Then when you cut him, he's going to have a $20 million cap hit.
Yes.
And so you say, well, look at us, man, because we did. We cut $100 million 2 years ago. This year, how much was it? $70 or $60 million?
Right.
Here's the problem with that. Other teams choose not to use that philosophy. They're already $30 million under the salary cap. And if they wanted to, they can do what we did and get $130 million under the cap and then outbid us for the players that we want. So the point is that while I get, if you want to re-sign some guys, you can work it out. But at some point, and this will transition into the next topic, at some point, you have to pay that money and you have to clean it up. Maybe it's just a year of saying, well, we can't do it this year. Next year, we'll get hit for this guy, and this guy. Then the following year, we can get back on it, right?
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. But I'm looking at the way that we drafted after, let's say, like 17 or something, where we would not draft as many players because the thought was, oh, our team is so good, these guys won't make the team. So just trade up and get 2 guys, and that's good for a draft. Like, that's going to change.
Right.
So that philosophy, I think getting more guys in the building is going to help us more than just, you know, getting 2 guys. And
I think Craig is going to have some stuff to say about this comment. Again, every time I do one of my mock drafts and I trade down a little bit, I get the Saints never trade down. First of all, Sean Payton is gone. Now, I don't know.
We didn't trade down before him either.
I'm not saying that Sean Payton was the guy who orchestrated all that. Having said that, is when you look at who you're drafting in, let's say the third round, you say there is nobody here who can beat the guy ahead of him. So the only real option is to draft that guy because you need to get rid of some salary cap. Then you tend to consolidate and say, let's get the players we absolutely want. As you start trying to fill the roster and get less expensive players, then now all of a sudden the philosophy would be, not that the Saints will do it, but it would be, I need more players and cheaper contracts. So let's trade down a little bit, pick up some picks, and get those guys to fill out the roster. Go ahead, Craig. I know you're chomping at the bit.
So here, I think this is just a different style of approach, right? There's two ways to go about it. One, you draft eight guys and you hope two or three of them are good. Or you trade up and only draft two or three, but you're pretty sure they're your guys and they're going to fit in and they're going to work out, right? I mean, there are two different ways of accomplishing the same task, which is adding good players to your team. So I don't think that one way is wrong. I don't think one way is right. The Saints recently, the last, you know, decade plus, have been more moving up to get the guys they think are going to be hits, as opposed to, you know, scatter fire, like, you know, guys like the Patriots who will trade down and draft 12 guys in a draft or something like that. You know, I don't think it's right or wrong. I would be completely fine if we traded down and drafted 12 guys and three or four of them hit, then it's a successful draft to me. You know, it's not about the big names. I don't care about names. You don't play games on paper. I want good players on the field.
And also the other thing is the team going into the draft didn't have as many holes to fill. And sure, right now that's not the case. And those plugs aren't really in free agency right now where we can just, you know, plug them. And so that's why we're going to be plugging holes in the draft for sure.
So, Craig, I completely agree with everything you said. I mean, in general, Saints, well, historically. But here's the problem. I think everyone would agree. We don't necessarily have a left tackle that we would go in saying, oh, we're good there.
Right.
And that's a premier position.
Yes.
I think everybody would agree that we probably need an additional wide receiver of high caliber, not necessarily a first rounder. And although some would say absolutely.
Sure. I mean, Michael Thomas was a second.
No. And that's the thing. You can strike gold on at anywhere, you know. I mean, I can list off a bunch of people who are on the Saints team right now who are third round draft picks who were excellent. But the point is that it's easier to find a wide receiver in the second round than it is to get a starting left tackle that's of high caliber.
I agree 100,000%. Yeah. Tackle is one of those things that the drop off from an elite tackle to an okay tackle is huge. Mm-hmm. Right now we have an okay tackle who will play left tackle.
Yeah,
and he's completely fine. Yeah. He can start on a lot of teams. And he's probably not going to lose us very many games if he's the guy going forward. But an elite left tackle, and we saw the difference when Armstead was in versus when he was out. You know, there's a huge gap in what you're able to do. Either you roll protection to one side to cover up a guy who's kind of okay. You move your plays one direction or the other. You kind of protect that side of the ball. Or you can attack every direction available because you know you don't have a weakness on one of those edges. You know, it opens your playbook up. It gives you a chance to really keep the defense guessing. If you have a weakness, or not even a weakness, just a softer spot on your line, the defense knows that, and they're gonna try to attack where you're most vulnerable. And right now, it would be that left side. Pete's gonna be hurt by game two anyway, and then you got Hurst on that left side.
That's a good point. So listen, he does have a history, and I don't want to take this where I'm making jokes, but Pete has a history of getting banged up too, and he is a solid guard when he's healthy. But all of a sudden, if you have Hurst in there and you have Pete, you're like, okay, I mean, we can live with that. But then all of a sudden, Pete gets hurt. And then all of a sudden, here comes, Throckmorton. And all of a sudden, you go from being like, and I mean, listen, he was fine, but hardly.
I like him the same way I like Hurst, though.
Right.
He's good to have on your team as depth and as a solid guy, but you're not going to rely on him. If he's the one out there and it's third and one, you're not running behind him.
So now all of a sudden you have Pete go down and you're looking at your left side and it's not so, oh man, we're good. It's like, oh my God. So it's funny how you can have one guy who's top notch. Let's use Ramczyk. And all of a sudden you think, oh man, we can live with Ruiz. Hope he gets better. But now all of a sudden Ramczyk goes down and Hurst is playing the right side and you're slapping your forehead saying, how are we going to make it like this? So the thing about it is a very good player can hide the weaknesses of a lesser player next to him. I don't think that we can go into this season looking at it. Well, anyway, I'm getting away from the point. The point I'm trying to make is we have an obvious issue at left tackle. We need wide receiver depth. We need tight end depth. We need running back depth. We talked about be nice to have a defensive tackle. It'd be nice to have a, not nice. I think we're seeing that safety has become a high priority.
Yes.
All I'm trying to make the point is that the Saints need several bodies to fill those up with potential. I would like to add this though. And this is point of my show that I did last week, cause you guys were too busy to hang out with me. But anyway, the point of it was the good thing is the Saints have Michael Thomas. So you're not looking for a number one. You can find a good receiver at number two, but let's say you didn't have Michael Thomas. Then you'd say, man, we got to spend a first round pick on the, you know, a starter, an impact, a number one guy. Mm-hmm. We are actually in a decent position. Now you got Taysom Hill. Looks like he's going to be playing more tight end. Now I know it's going to take him a little bit of time to get his feet under him. He's also got to come back from injury, but is it a huge need or would it be nice to have somebody else right now? And I think it's the latter. And I would say the same thing with a lot of these positions is that where's the one spot that you say, man, it's a gaping hole that we need a starter right now. And I would have to say it's left tackle, not only because of the position, but how hard it is to find somebody and that you're not going to find one in free agency.
Yep. 100% agree with everything you just said. For me, the two biggest holes, left tackle and free safety. And free safety, you can protect. If you have strong corner play and you have a pass rush, you can protect a weak safety. We've done it before in this defense, you know. You can't protect a left tackle. He's the one protecting the whole left side of your offense. You know, it changes everything like we just talked about. Two big holes, you can protect one, you can't protect the other. You got to go tackle first round. That's if we do anything else, I've talked myself into it at this point. If we do anything but tackle in the first, I'm disappointed.
Okay.
So and concerned.
Yes. So here's the thing. And I don't know if I was ready to transition into this yet, but we were talking about the mock draft. And so I'm looking at different things. And the problem is Penning. He's been our darling for, I mean, I don't know, 6 weeks now. I feel like, is that about fair? You know, we just like, hey, he's the guy. The problem is,
I feel like I've been missing him my whole life.
The problem here with Penning is that, man, his RAS was amazing. Did he score a 100?
I think he did.
Yeah, no, I think if not, it was. Now he played in a smaller
school, Northern Iowa. That's right.
Lower competition.
Calm down.
But then he went to the Senior Bowl and did the same thing to those guys that he did to the guys
at the Senior Bowl. He mauled people at the Senior Bowl. He's a bear that they put shoulder pads on.
He upset some of these SEC defensive ends by just being a little bit too mean to them. And they didn't.
And when you say upset, do you mean rustled to the ground and fell on top of, embarrassing in front of the national audience? Because that's what he did.
Right. All these defensive ends dropped around in the draft because they had to go up against them. I heard they were arguing like, no, you're next, bro. No, you next. I'm not up. You up.
So one of the few positions I actually have a little bit of knowledge on, offensive line, he is kind of a development guy because he played at a small school. So I don't think that if you draft him, I think he ends up a great player. I really do. But I don't think it's necessarily a day one starter because he's got to get up to speed with these guys. Yeah, he'd be great at the Senior Bowl. You know, he manhandles competition that he can physical up on. And, you know, there are going to be guys in the pros that he can't just bully, you know? I mean, a lot of them he still will be able to. He is a monster. 6'7", 300 and some odd pounds. He is a 335, monster.
Sorry, 325.
Oh, sorry, yeah. 325 lean pounds. He's a monster. And
nasty, you know, attitude.
I think he would be a great pick, especially with the way the Saints are looking right now. We want to build for the future more than we want to win right now. Mm-hmm. That's why I think a guy that you get like him would be kind of a development thing that he's probably going to end up playing this year. But I think 2-3 years down the road, he's elite. Okay. And that's what I want to build towards.
So let
me ask you, like, what did Armstead do well? Because, I mean, he came out of small school and everything, mm-hmm. for sure.
He's a freak athlete.
All of it.
Yeah, it was except a freak. He was the fastest. I don't know if it still stands, but he was the fastest 40 time in combine history at offensive tackle. Now, the 40 yard dash does not matter to offensive linemen. It's completely irrelevant. If you're running 40 yards and you're not Eric McCoy on that play against the Packers, then it doesn't happen, right? That's not part of your game. You know, you can have an elite game and never run 10 yards.
Yeah,
but it's a sign of athleticism in a lot of cases.
Yes,
I think that's why they still have the linemen run it.
I would even go as far to say, Craig, is when I see somebody weighing 320 pounds running as 4.7, I'm just like, stop before you hurt something. Okay. It could be you. It could be the ground.
Punch,
it could
be a referee.
Somebody who just acts like a small child that runs across the field accidentally, you know, a streaker. Somebody's going to get hurt.
It's more than easier likely to get 325 going than it is to stop.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
But I think that's what it is. I think that's the kind of guy that he does actually translate a little bit to Armstead, in that he is athletically such a monster. He's such a beast like that. Whereas Armstead's more, obviously much more polished. He's been in the league for, you know, a decade. I think you need time to develop a guy like Penning. And I think with the obvious direction the Saints are going, that he has that time.
Okay. So if we wouldn't spend every time I try to just mention an offensive lineman 30 minutes breaking him down, the point I was trying to get to is that as well as we've seen him play on film and with his athletic score, I'm worried he won't be there at 18. So this is when you run into, if the top three, if he, based on what I'm seeing, there are three top level, including him, offensive tackles. If he's gone by 18, which it's a premier position. We just got finished talking about that.
Right.
If he's gone, now all of a sudden, I think you can switch the gears to say, maybe we look at that safety or that receiver and then try to get one of the next level guys in the second round.
So this ties into our different two philosophies, right? Where it's you stand pat or you trade down and you get a lot of guys, or you're aggressive to get the guys that you want. So and like we were just talking about, I'm of the opinion you go and get them. You find out which other teams ahead of you need to tackle. You see how many left on the board, and you go get one of those three guys in the first, even if it costs you a third or a second next year or whatever the hell it takes.
That hurt just saying that. Oh, made my stomach a little. Oh God. I mean, we have so. Okay, I don't make it sound so bad, but we have holes that I want to fill this year, right now. I want them.
Dave, this is a kid's show.
Yes, I think at some point I said we had three holes. It didn't sound right.
Easy.
But they all need to be filled. Okay,
everyone be mature here.
The thing about it is, I just don't want to trade away. I do not disagree with you, but it's just hard for me to swallow, and that's why I let the Saints make that decision. And I do, yeah, that's a good deal. Yeah, I like that. You know, so
right, two philosophies. It's not the wrong call to stand back and keep more picks and get more guys.
Okay, so here's the problem: you trade up, you get that tackle that you want. Bam, solid at the position that is hard to fill, expensive in free agency. You got it. You still don't have a safety. You may not have that wide receiver you need, and then all of a sudden you run into the same problems. But to me, and I know you'll agree with this, can we keep this your comments under 30 minutes, that without an offensive line, like everything else ticks because the offensive line is playing well, you know? So maybe Smith and Callaway don't seem like less than average players when your offensive line is amazing. Maybe Winston is a better quarterback when your offensive line is healthy and playing well. So I do see that it's just that important. And golly, I'm glad I don't have to make these decisions, man.
So for our listeners that don't actively strap on pads and go bust people in the face, you play pickup games in the park. You know, you're running a 7-on-7. Your quarterback's back there. You're running a route on your buddy who just had too many beers at lunch, and you're getting the inside move on it. But it doesn't matter. What do you guys do? Do you have five Mississippi? He's got 5 seconds to throw. Why do you have that rule? Because any quarterback will dissect any defense if you give them enough time. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason that, oh, well, you five Mississippi and then you got to throw it. Oh, he's sacked. Oh, 7-on-7 don't even have lines, and they have time limits on how long you have to throw the ball. Name a terrible quarterback in this league, any of them. And they will beat the best defense if you give them 10 damn seconds to find somebody.
I will also make the point that Larry from the warehouse is running like a 6'3", 40, and you need
five seconds. But he's lanky, though. You got to defend a lot of field.
He's long. He's going to need all those 5 seconds to get down the field. All right. Before we move on, let's take a minute to talk about something important to us.
I will remember you.
Hi. This is David Romero of the BS and Beer Network. I'm here with Craig and Dale from the Beer Run podcast.
We usually like to inject humor into the way we present our shows.
Today, we want to talk to you about something serious. and we need your help.
As the economy worsens and the gas prices increase,
the cost of all goods and services are making it difficult for families to get the essentials they need for everyday simple life necessities.
There is a particular group of people who need your help more than ever, and we're asking for your help now.
These people are us. Here at the BS and Beer Network, we're asking for your help.
Won't you please help?
We need your help. Please.
By sending please your help. Contribution to our GoFundMe My Pal OnlyFans Patreon account, you'll be helping people provide services that you can easily get many other places for free.
Greg has a new baby.
Dale has some throwback Jordans he's had his eye on.
There are single moms at the Deja Vu that need our help.
We can all help $1 at a time.
I will remember you.
If you'd like to help the BS and Beer crew and the single moms at the Deja Vu, just send your singles to the GoFundMy PayPal account right now. That's GEAUX, fund my PayPal account. All donations are welcome. All right, now it's time to talk about perhaps the most interesting comments to me that came out of the owners' meetings. And that was Mickey Loomis. And combined with some other comments, you know, the one about building through the draft, we've already discussed that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Mickey Loomis is saying, hey, I wish I had the exact quote next to me, but it's time to get this cap back in shape, mm-hmm. which begs the question. And I use it and I call it a competitive rebuild because obviously the Saints are not. I'm sorry. Did I say obviously? It doesn't seem to me that the Saints are tearing it apart, ripping it down to nothing and starting all over. So yeah, I don't know what to call it because obviously, it looks to me the Saints are saying, and from the general manager's comments, the Saints want to get the cap back in shape. So that could be why we're not making as much movement or progress with receivers and things that we feel doesn't seem like we're filling holes that we've always done in the past where we go into the draft not needing anything.
Right.
So what, Dale, is happening? What do you think the new direction or the direction of the Saints are? They're obviously, damn it. They're not trying to strip it down and not win, but at the same time, they're not all in anymore.
I think they understand what's going on in the NFL where other teams are loading up and we don't have the ammo to compete with those super teams right now where our roster has been pretty good the past few seasons, besides last year, where we were that team loading up. And so, yeah, I'm also going to spread a little bit of rumor here. Mickey Loomis is going to retire after the draft. I'm telling you.
Nonsense.
We get the house in order so Mickey Loomis can ride off into the sunset.
If he's getting the, why would he bother getting the house in order if he's going to leave it? Are you trying to get a security deposit back? What are you talking about?
It's going to happen. I'm telling you.
Do not necessarily reflect
the thoughts and views of David Romero or the BS and Beer podcast.
All right, please continue, Dale.
That's here.
Hilarious.
We have the new Tomas. We have found the new Tomas. Okay, so now that Dale has spread nasty rumors that are completely unverifiable. You kind of caught me off guard, Dale. I don't know where to go from this, but Dale, generally, his sources are very
non-existent.
So take it for what it's worth and spread it all over Twitter.
It's right next to the guy that's saying we're going to trade the next 5 firsts to go get Joe Burrow, right?
Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah, he's hilarious. All right. So any other thoughts on this new? Well, you didn't even chime in yet. Craig, Dale threw me for such a loop there. Just like threw that
okay,
in there.
So here's what the big conversation is. It looks like now the Saints are making an attempt to kind of start not rebuilding, but maybe reloading. They're kind of a soft reboot. You know, they're keeping the same actors, but they're going a different direction. Maybe it's on a different network. You know, I don't think that it was obvious a few months ago. I don't think that Sean Payton saw this on the wall and said, okay, there's no way I can fix this roster. I'm going to get the hell out of here. Because since that decision was made, since Sean Payton stepped away, we went all in on Deshaun Watson, didn't get him. We moved $30 million available to go after that big name, to make that big move to get an elite talent quarterback, and it didn't work out. Now we have this cap room. Now we see that there aren't the big fish out there anymore. Now we're looking at putting the draft together. I think it may have been one happening because of the other, rather than one rather than the former influencing the latter. If that makes sense.
No, I get what you're saying. There's a part of me that thinks that Sean Payton because he had nothing to do with Deshaun Watson, to my knowledge. I mean, he's already gone for several months. It's not like he started the ball rolling. I mean, but again, no, maybe he did. Actually, I heard the Saints were actually involved in that since last year, that they put my name in the hat, will you? And then we'll revisit this later. Having said all this, man, first of all, I find it interesting. The Saints went and created $30 million. That was barely half of what was needed to actually pay the guy.
It seemed like enough of the time.
Yeah, look at all that we did.
So Cleveland went ahead and buried their franchise.
How much of this, and again, complete speculation, how much of this do you think that could have been after the Deshaun thing? They realized, man, we got every penny we could possibly manufacture out of this, and we still weren't just hardly more than 50% over what we needed to compete financially with one of the other teams. So I don't know what it is, but it's interesting to think that at some point we as followers and fans have to come to grips that the Saints have been going all in. And at some point you have to pay the piper, and we're there. The problem with that is that we have such great defense right now. It's hard to watch it just, we'll just let these guys go and not sign that guy and clear some cap and just watch the defense get a year older, another guy leaves, Cam Jordan got to go because of salary cap implications, and all of a sudden your defense is above average and your offense is a work in progress, and it's just a little disheartening, you know? So now, if all the things happen, but as I mentioned, if mm-hmm. so many ifs right now, yeah. If we get a left tackle, if we're able to get our safeties in place, if Jameis Winston continues to show progress that he showed last year, if he overcomes the injury, if Michael Thomas is the same guy, oh boy, man, it does get a little discouraging. Yeah, all the ifs could be like, man, they worked out in our favor, but some of them might not. You know, which one will, which one won't? And that's the part that's just a little concerning. And anyway, okay, now I've depressed myself. So what do y'all guys?
You're right to be concerned, right?
Say something
positive.
We're
definitely in a huge transition for this franchise. You know, we're still feeling the effects of not having Drew Brees anymore. We're going into a season without Sean Payton. There's new head coach. There's new life. There's new guys, big time guys that we've had for a long time have left. Armstead, Williams. We're going to be drafting new big pieces. There's definitely reason to be nervous. There's trepidation. There's no way around it. You know, I'm as optimistic as probably anybody on any of these shows. And I can absolutely see this team taking a step backwards. I don't think that it's a permanent step backwards. I don't think that we're falling off a cliff, but I think there's a potential for that to this season to be a step back.
The thing that I will say, and I think for older fans like myself, is that the worry, whether it's real or perceived in the back of your mind, is taking a step back means you're going back to those days before Peyton. And that isn't the case. I do believe this organization now has it together. And so the point is like many teams, there comes a point you say, hey, time to reload. And it might take you a step back to, you know, winning 7 games or 8 games. I mean, we already had one last year, which I think had more to do with injury than, you know, not being a good team. But once you get those things cleared up, then, you know, you a quick turnaround. Then you start seeing we're back to like the year that Lattimore was at 17, all those rookies. I didn't expect to win. We got to the playoffs. We should have won in Minnesota. And then the game after that, I can't remember what it was, but there was a feeling that if we'd have got past that game, we would have had, was it the Eagles?
It was the Eagles, and they got blown out in Philadelphia.
So we, you know, the point being is that we could have, that wasn't a year we expected it, but when you have a good organization, you draft well, and you manage things properly, those teams are always successful. And I think that's what the Saints are now. They're a successful, well-ran franchise, unlike the pre-Peyton years. So I don't think that this means going back to the old Saints years.
We're competing for what, second in the division right now, right?
I don't agree with that.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I know
there's nothing to say that the Buccaneers are absolutely going to be better. They have a new head coach too. Arians is stepping down. Brady's a year older. Gronk's probably retiring. They have lost pieces on their offensive line. To just go into the season saying, we're just going to try to be second. We're not going to win the division. What is the point of trying to do something if you know you're going to fail?
So here's the thing, Craig. I'm mad.
I'll jump
on board with you if I was in the locker room. But we ain't in the locker room, bro. We talking about and analyzing the Saints, man. There's I think every reason in the world, including Vegas numbers, that say there's a good chance we fighting for second place. Could it change?
Yeah, absolutely. Between us after the draft, I'm gonna put
he's mad again.
Us in Tampa Bay, top to bottom, and I'm gonna have you tell me where they are so much better at all these positions. So I see about maybe five or six guys they're better than us at.
Okay, I'm open for it. And listen, man, I'm one of the biggest Saints fan. I wouldn't be doing this show. If
there's some passion in this voice right here.
Yeah.
If that doesn't come across, I'm going to let you know I'm passionate about this.
Yeah, so I've seen it. I've seen it. There was a text that came up this morning that I saw. Somebody was angry about my obvious comments.
I'm just here to push buttons here. That's my purpose. Hey.
All right.
So y'all, you know, I love showing up to the golf course with my buddies and going, man, I hope only one of you beat me today.
Yeah. Craig, I don't know if you realize it, but you have zero control over what the Saints do. Now, when you're out there on the golf course, you have some control over it.
I don't even know if that's true. The golf gods are cruel.
All right, y'all ready to talk about this absolutely spot on, amazing draft? If you go to our Twitter account, you can see as Craig raises his Bud Light in, I don't know, some type of, he looks like he just won something.
These are the aluminum bottles that keep your beer cold longer because we rattle on the show for about an hour and a half and I need to have cold beer.
Yes. Okay. So first round, despite the mainstream logic, the Saints traded down a little bit and in the first round and they still get Trevor Penning, which I don't think will be the case. So now let's also remember that I've been doing radio and podcasting for close to a decade now. Well, radio a little bit over, but I know how to play to my audience. In this case, it's keep Craig happy and keep Dale happy.
Yeah.
So, and to keep the fans happy. So there's a little bit of something for everybody. The Saints in the second round trade up and they lock up Treylon Burks, a beast of a receiver from Arkansas who is, dang it. Now I won't be able to remember the kid's name in San Francisco. Probably maybe the best receiver in the league, arguably.
Debo Samuel.
Yes. He's strong after the catch. He's like a running back out there, but he's 6'3", 220, a beast. He was a little slower in the combine than what people expected. So
thankfully hurt his draft capital.
Right. So the thing that I don't like about that pick, but he was the best of the, he was the last of the top tier receivers.
Right.
He's not a downfield threat. And I'm trying to avoid matching up Michael Thomas with another guy who's similar to Michael Thomas. But hey, you're talking about a West Coast style offense. These guys are valuable. Then after that, and at the 54th pick in the second round, I picked another wide receiver, Jahlen Dotson from Penn State. Now he's a smaller guy, he's 5'11". 185. He's like those old school receivers, super quick, super fast, but he's a tough guy too. So it's not like one of these smaller guys, not as tough.
Okay. Kind of like Steve Smith in Carolina.
Yes. So now we made the fans happy by selecting two wide receivers. Yeah. Next, we're going to make Dave happy by picking a running back because I feel like it's super important if Kamara gets suspended or even when he comes back to have somebody else with fresh legs. And he's more of a power runner, but yet he still ran in the 4.4s, high 4.4s. So the guy has speed, but he's a power runner. Lastly, we cannot forget about Dale. And if there's not an LSU player, and he says, trash. Well, actually, was it him who said because of this pick that he didn't throw up after my draft?
Right.
So Neil Farrell, who's who's a defensive tackle at LSU.
Monster.
And I think he has some penetration skills and in the fourth round, penetrating all those open holes that are left open. So anyway, there you go. There's my mock draft. Go ahead and have your way with it, fellas.
I love it. If that was a carbon copy of what we actually did, I would be happy. I would light a cigar up and sit back and go, yeah, we're going to win 9 games.
I think my only problem would be a running back out of BYU, just because it's BYU. You know, that's really it.
Oh, is BYU not in the SEC, therefore does not play actual football?
It's not in the SEC.
I forgot that Ohio State, Michigan, and all those guys, I forgot that they aren't real football teams either.
Well, you know, according to Ruiz, they're not real football players at their Michigan.
Yeah, neither is Michael Thomas, right?
Getting Neil Farrell late in the draft, I think this is a guy that can come in and be a rotational player on your defensive line. Massive guy, strong. Like, I really want to see him go up against Penning, and I want to see if he can block him, because I know Farrell is man.
I want to watch that too. Let's have that.
All right. So
honestly, I don't know that if you're going to get a D tackle, it's got to be a big, explosive flash kind of guy, because you already have 6 guys that are just like him.
I agree.
You're just adding him to an already deep class of guys that are pretty much the same build, style, production.
The reason that I picked him,
you need to be better than those guys.
The reason I picked him is because I thought potentially,
because Dale's Nelson,
he's a four. Yes. And to satisfy Dale's needs, is potentially he has the ability to be a big body who actually is a pass rush. Although he wasn't necessarily that at LSU. It could simply be because, like you were talking about earlier, he's a guy that absorbs more. You know, he won't necessarily be great, but if he's paired up against somebody who is a very good player like Onyemata, then all of a sudden he starts making more plays and is a big body to absorb some runs. I'd like to make the observation that I draft Penning, Burks, Dotson, and no analysis about those guys, straight to my 4th round draft pick from LSU, and we get in-depth.
do we really want me to research. Talk about Penning anymore today? Do we need to spend more time on the show?
No, I'm just making Penning. A point that Dale.
I'm willing to talk about Penning a bit more if you'd like.
No, that's okay.
Everyone talks about the first rounders, okay? Like, you got to get deep into the draft and talk about those guys. That's where you get the real.
You recall, I started talking about those receivers too, and you kept moving on. All right.
That's where you get the real.
I am trying to give some feedback here. For this unwarranted attack
on my person. All right, if y'all can just hold off on the personal attacks
order,
on me.
Order here.
Oh, what? Order here. All right. What else do we have to talk about? I knew that we didn't need any more subjects than this to fill out an hour's worth of content. Anything else you guys want to talk about? Although I'm sure there'll be a beer run here shortly in the next few days.
So the next thing I would like to discuss here is WrestleMania. Because it's WrestleMania weekend.
I think that's going to be one of the downs on the beer run. This is the Saints show.
Okay. They were talking about last night in our group, and I turned it on, and I was like, man, I haven't watched this since I was young. And I was still like, this is entertaining, man. This is seriously
entertaining. I was going to check it out, but there was a real fire episode of Blippi that was on. And
Listen, you missed Ronda Rousey going up against Charlotte Flair. If you don't know,
and
Charlotte
those fights
Flair,
are exactly as legitimate as all of her other fights were in MMA.
Charlotte Flair is the daughter of Ric Flair. Okay, like, you guys need to get into this stuff.
Yeah, you're not understand. Blippi went to the aquarium. Okay, there were stingrays.
All right. I think that's enough out of you two. Well, that's all the show, luckily, that we have for you this week. So for Craig Wright, Dale Mims, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast, and we will talk to you next time we talk to you.
Who that?
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
Oh, but don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time. Every Wednesday, so don't miss, we do this every
so dumb, miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, boy, don't waste time.